T-minus 51. ICA headquarters, Buenos Aires, Argentina. The scene was impressive in every way. En route to ICA HQ, Clark McCarthy gazed out of the car window in awe at the size of the crowd that had turned out in hopes of catching a glimpse of Leisha or at least his descending craft. From an operational standpoint, Clark appreciated the extensive security measures and particularly the enormous buffer in place between the building itself and the crowds, which were understandably trying to get as close as possible from every angle. The presence of security cordons well away from the podium also meant that camera angles would be unobstructed and that no sounds of commotion would come across through TV sets around the world. When their car drew to a halt, having accessed the building's entrance area via the highest security approach of all, Godfrey encouraged Clark to stay seated for a moment. He then typed something on his phone. "I'm just telling an ally to press the button in New York," he said. "She's waiting for the order, so it should be fast. And Leisha doesn't hang around, so he should be fast, too. Either that, or we're stalling." Clark glanced outside again and smiled. "No need for stalling," he beamed as a small craft almost immediately came into view overhead. "Good old alien punctuality," Godfrey said, opening his door. Clark did the same, and the two approached the waiting podium. No one batted an eyelid. All of the attendant reporters and their many cameras were rightly trained on the incoming flying saucer. UFO wasn't the right word since everyone knew what it was and who was inside, but spacecraft somehow felt too impersonal for a vehicle which so beautifully fit every Hollywood image of what an incoming alien vessel should look like. Less than a minute after appearing, Leisha's craft touched down. Within another minute, he was shaking Clark's hand and extending the same courtesy to Godfrey, albeit in a slightly more perfunctory manner. "Good to see you again, dude," Clark said. Leisha didn't reply, of course, and Clark didn't know if he understood. Part of him hoped not, recalling his earlier concern about that kind of thing, but at the moment it didn't really matter. They were all on the same side, and Leisha had once again shown up when he was needed. Although the first, second, and third things on Clark's mind were all helping Piper, once that was taken care of, he would be more than happy to devote his energy to helping the messengers. He wanted to help them find what they were missing, their own history, whether that came from the revival of their elders or through enabling exploration of their vaster-than-first-thought home world. It pleased Clark greatly that the same actions which could help Piper would have the side effect of helping the messengers too, and considering this made him think that maybe things were playing out exactly as they were supposed to. The past few years hadn't been easy and had at times scarcely been tolerable, but at the end of the day, things had kept working out more or less okay. Since the leak that set it all in motion, Dan had met and married Emma, and they'd brought a beautiful baby into the world. Clark had met and fallen for Tara, with the opposite somehow happening too. Henry had recovered full use of his hands and arms after a brutally damaging accident. Humanity had gained context and understanding of its place in the universe. Nothing was perfect, but most things were good. Whether it was the physical proximity of an alien that brought these unusually reflective thoughts into Clark's mind, he couldn't be sure. He was barely even focusing on Godfrey's opening remarks, hearing only a few words about unity and shared knowledge. But then, as if struck by a bolt of lightning on the temple, Clark's mind sharpened in an instant as a terrible sight met his eyes. It was as though the world around him slowed, his bodyguard instincts and heightened abilities of hazard perception spotting the firearm before anyone else in the area. A camera fell to the ground as the lanyard-wearing assailant raised his weapon and pulled the trigger. "Down!" Clark roared, pushing Leisha aside with a firm right hand at the very same instant he wrapped himself around Godfrey before diving to the ground with the future ICA chairman in his arms. Clark winced as he fell, half expecting to feel the fleeting pain of a bullet and the final piece that came with it. Instead, he felt the thud of concrete, an impact which Godfrey took the brunt of, while his stress-heightened sense of hearing took in the strangest whistling sound he had ever heard. He turned to glance at the shooter and saw a bullet suspended in the air, inches from his own body. To the side, Leisha stood with one hand holding the bullet in place and another aimed squarely at the would-be assassin. The bullet then fell to the ground, at precisely the same moment the shooter left it. From there, it all happened within a few seconds. While Leisha held the shooter aloft with his right hand, which appeared to be shaking under the strain, he raised his left hand and seemed to trace an invisible box around the man. Clark expected Leisha to drop his right hand at any moment, probably having trapped the assailant safely in an elevated cubic force field where he would remain until the area was cleared and swept. Instead, and with the most fearsome look on his face that Clark had ever seen from man or beast, Leisha very suddenly threw the finger-like divisions of his right hand apart like he was propelling a grenade. The impact of his action was greater than any blast, both in its immediate effect and its lasting consequences. For with the angry opening of Leisha's unspeakably powerful hand came the instantaneous and utterly gruesome death of the shooter. As though exploding from the inside out, which in effect it had, the man's body violently disintegrated, splattering viscera on all edges of the invisible box Leisha had drawn in the sky. That force field wasn't there to trap him, Clark realized. It was there to keep his blood and guts off everyone else. Far more disturbingly than the eggs and the green paint Leisha kept away from Dan and Tara had slid down the side of previous force fields, the shooter's liquefied remains pooled grimly at the base of the cube. Clark, still guarding Godfrey, whose feet were frozen in shock while his mouth hung open in a look of horror common to every face in the vicinity, turned immediately towards Leisha. Holding the alien's gaze for a few seconds, he could have sworn he saw a tear. "Go," Clark implored Leisha, wary of what might happen next if he didn't. He then pointed to the craft, then to the sky, and finally back to the craft again. "Leisha, go," he repeated. At that, the world around Clark McCarthy and everyone else in the shadow of the ICA's soon-to-open headquarters flashed white for the briefest of moments. This was enough to mask Leisha's rapid departure, and when the total light subsided, there was no longer any blood floating in the air. It lay now on the ground, flowing slowly and thickly on a barely discernible dip in the road. Reporters understandably fled the surroundings like it was lava rather than human remains, and Clark tried not to make eye contact with any of their cameras. "You saved my life," William Godfrey said, at last back in control of his physical and mental faculties. "Clark, you saved my life." Clark nodded, more relieved than proud, as he followed Godfrey into the waiting car to flee for cover from whatever madness was coming their way. "And he saved mine."